Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 3. pretty awesome chapter, in my opinion. Of course, they're all awesome, but this one opens up some things that most people read over, I'm sure. I'm just going to read through it real quickly, and then we'll come back and discuss it. Verse 1 starts out, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which workmanship God is..." What am I reading? "We are the circumcision, which worship God in the..." There's what I was doing wrong. "Which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, where we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Let's go back and look at it now, because this is a really good chapter. Finally, the word "finally" doesn't really say "finally." It literally means, there's two words there. It means the time remaining. Whatever time you got left, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever you got left, rejoice in the Lord. He says to write, okay, to write or describe the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is a security. A couple words changed there, what they should be. So, whatever time you got left, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write or to describe the same things to you over and over or again, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is a security. Makes sense. See? So it shouldn't be, some people get offended if you keep asking them the same question over and over. Sometimes you need to hear things multiple times to get them in. Okay? Someone can say something to you and you mishear what was said. You didn't pick up all the words. Just like Lois thought Lisa said something about...
Walmart.
She thought she said Walmart, and she didn't say Walmart, but she said New Boston, and she just associated that with something, you know. And that's the way our minds are. That's the way those cherubim work in our minds. And we shouldn't be too hard on that, because everybody does it. Nobody can get around that. They're in there. You got to deal with it. You got to learn to deal with it. And that's what he's saying. So don't be grievous. Don't think it's grievous to ask that question again and again and again. If you need the answer, that's the reason you ask the question.
We need to make it plain.
They need to make it plain. We need to work on our communication skills so we can make it as plain as possible. Yeah. Everybody don't have the same skills, but make it as good as you can make it. Okay, verse 2. Beware, or literally to discern or perceive, dogs. What is a dog? We're not talking about puppy dogs running around with tails and ears and big pointed nose or fuzzy little puppies. Dogs represent what?
Samaritan.
What?
Judaizers.
Heathens. Not, well, it's heathen. Okay. Dogs represent the unsaved. Remember the woman that went to Jesus and said, even the dogs, the puppies get the crumbs under the table, you know, talking about the heathen, the Gentiles. So he said, beware of those Gentiles, okay? Beware of evil workers. See? He didn't say beware of people. He's really telling you beware of the evil works of those people. Not the people. But you have to understand where they're coming from. Right there, out of the people. Beware of the concision. What does a concision mean? Well, no. Concision is speaking of the Jewish people. They were called the circumcision, right? But they were only a shadow and a type of the reality of the true Jew, right? The true Jew is circumcised of the heart, not of the lower partment. You know? Okay? And who are we really talking about when he says concision, though? Who's it, ultimately, who's it going down to? To the religious people of the day.
Or yourself.
Well, you or anybody else that's religious. But he's talking about religious people. Beware of the religious people, because they're going to put you back under the law. That's exactly what they do.
That religious part that's in you.
Sure, it could be part of you. But like I say, you know, beware of that religion which will put you right back under the law. Jesus came to set you free, didn't he? And yet people walk right back under the law under all these doctrines that they give you. Okay? In verse 3, he goes on and says, because we are the circumcision. Do you think he's talking to everybody there? He's talking to the ones that can hear, the ones that are set apart, the chosen ones that God chose before the foundation of the world. The ones he created ears to hear and eyes to see in now. But we are the circumcision, okay? The spiritual Jew, as you might want to say, which worship God in the spirit. Okay, he didn't say worshiping by waving your hands or jumping up and down in like aerobics class or crying or laying on the floor wailing. That's all stuff, shadows and types out of the Old Testament. That's not the reality of worshiping Christ. Worshiping is imitation. And Paul says this a little later. I'll get to it. So we worship God in the spirit and rejoice. And what's the word rejoice mean? It means to rejoice with or without a reason. Just rejoice all the time. So what should our attitude be all the time?
Happy.
There you go. Happy, happy, happy. What's that Pharrell song? Happy? Lois has got it on her phone, so every time the phone rings, she's ready to dance. Well, that's okay. She had people over at McDonald's the other day. They had a whole bunch of people dancing. Where else was you doing that?
Sam's
Club, yeah. The song come on playing, she got everybody dancing, you know. But hey, everybody was laughing, having a good time. It's better than spitting at each other, isn't it? But rejoice with or without reason, always rejoice in Christ Jesus. And have no confidence in the flesh. Now, that's not exactly what it says. And it says, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and you are not persuaded in the flesh or by the flesh. Remember what we were talking about earlier about how things happen? See, that's being pressured in the flesh, being, the word is persuaded in the flesh, that somebody pushes you or pressures you to do something that you know you shouldn't do. That's letting your emotions, that's the flesh, take over and run you into something. That's what he's saying. See, he's not persuaded by the flesh. That's what Paul's saying. He said, though I have, and that word might right there, I don't know if you got the word might in yours, King James says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. The word might isn't even there. That's an added word through the translators. He said, though I also have confidence in the flesh, or myself possess the ability to have confidence in the flesh. I have the ability. You know what? Every one of us have that ability, don't we? We all have the ability to have confidence in our flesh. We can get our egos puffed up just right now. It happens. But we're not supposed to. And we should know better. If we understand what we're talking about, we should know better than letting our ego get in the way and getting all puffed up because something didn't go the way we wanted it. What right do I have to tear somebody, you know? I just had a circumstance this week, and Lois happened to be there when I was at the end of it. And I was dealing with some people that was, I ordered a part, and they promised me I'd have it within 2 days. And 14 days later before it got here, through several different phone calls, they said, well, it'll be there tomorrow by noon. Well, it didn't show up. It'll be overnight the next day by noon. It didn't show up. You know, this kept telling me. And when I got to the end, this gentleman said, I'll take responsibility for that. And I appreciated what he said. I'll take responsibility. It was supposed to be. I was sent it to there, and it just didn't happen. And for your being very polite and nice during this whole thing, you could have been irate. I'm sure he's heard plenty of them. He said, I'm going to send you a shirt, which was probably very expensive. And he did. He sent a shirt in the package with the parts. And she heard him say it. Said, for you doing that, I'm going to thank you for doing it and send you a gift for that. You know, it would have been very easy just to blow up and just tell him what I thought of the place. And my head was telling me to do it, but I wouldn't go with it. See, we have to take that thought captive.
That's when you're talking about having confidence in the flesh.
Yeah, I'd had no confidence in that flesh.
Right.
It would have blown up, and I probably not had the part yet. It's, you reap what you sow, so just leave it alone. Don't go there. Don't let them talk. Don't let it talk you into it. And don't think talking back to that voice you hear in your head makes you crazy. It makes you smart. Tell it to take its place where it belongs, in the gutter, because you're not going there. I tell it all the time. I talk to it. When it talks to me, I talk back to it. I'm not going there. It's plain and simple. If they want to say I'm crazy, that's okay. Anyway, it says, if any other think that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul's saying, if you think you've got something to brag about, let me tell you what my pedigree is. He said, I'm circumcised the eighth day out of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and concerning the law, I'm a Pharisee. I know the law better than anybody. I can quote the first five books of the book. I can quote the Pentateuch verbatim. How many can do that? Not very many. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, I'm blameless. I'm doing all my little doodads. I think I got to do, you know. Got to do all them little sacrifices and penances, whatever you got to do. I can do them all. But what things were gained to me, those I considered, not counted, but I considered lost through Christ. So all that stuff he's telling you, all that religious hoodoo that they do, what's it worth?
Honest.
Nada. Nothing. See? It don't do you any good. Why can't people read that and see that? Because God hasn't given them the eyes to see it. We're not talking about a different book, are we? We're all talking about the same place, and they can't even begin to see that. They have no conception of what that means. That all the things that they're doing this morning, in this very day, is worthless. Because they're not truly rejoicing in Christ.
So, Peter Paul's saying he followed the procedures of the religious.
But it didn't do him any good.
Perfectly.
Yeah, and it still didn't work. Worthless. And it's still worthless. Verse 8, he says, yea, doubtless, and I consider all things, not but. The word but there, it's literally the word to exist. I consider all things to exist through the excellency or the superiority of the knowledge of Christ. He said, everything that exists, guess what? It's through the excellency of what? Of what? Knowledge of Christ. Didn't the book say in the Old Testament, my people are destroyed for lack of what?
Knowledge.
Of who?
Jesus.
Of God, Christ, whatever. See, the lack of knowledge of God that were destroyed.
The Amplified says it was a priceless privilege.
It is. It is a privilege to have an understanding and an experience to tie it together, to make it a reality within us. It's a priceless experience. The rest of that says, because, or is that what, let me see, through whom I have suffered or experienced the loss of all things. How many of us have lost all things?
Thank God.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we all have lost everything, but we've lost some things, but we ain't lost everything yet. See, he had all reputation taken away from him, which we didn't. Not yet. We're in the process of it. But it's something we're going to go through. The loss of all things, and I do consider them, but what? Worthless and detestable is what it should say. Everything that I lost was nothing to me now. It doesn't mean a thing. That I, what? What's that last part say?
When. Right.
Cross out that word may, because may should not be there. That's one of them doubt words. He didn't do it that he might make it. He did it knowing that if I fulfill what God has for me, then I'm there. I've done wanting. And this is what he says, in order that I win Christ or gain Christ, and be found where? Not him in me, because everybody qualifies for that one, but me be found in him. That means the external part that everybody sees of me, all they're going to see is the Christ nature. So when someone does me wrong, someone has a different opinion than me, if I blow up, what part am I showing them?
The flesh.
I'm showing them me on the outside.
The flesh.
I'm having confidence in the flesh rather than listening and saying, wait a minute. Maybe they don't fully understand what I'm saying. Maybe I didn't express this the way it should have been. You know, maybe I didn't hear it properly. You know, whatever the reason. Rather than jump the gun and rip somebody, back up. Be swift to what?
Hear.
And slow to?
Speak.
That'll work, you know it? It'll work. Apply it in your life and see what happens. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness. What is your own righteousness?
Filthy rags.
There you go. That's what Isaiah told us, wasn't it? Filthy rags. Which is what? It's the law. My righteousness is earned by the law. That's what it says. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. So the law takes you to your own arrogance and pride. I've done it, and so I'm better than the ones who haven't done it. I've kept all my little doo-doos, and I'm better than everybody. But that which is through the faith of God, or from the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. In Habakkuk 2:4, can anybody quote that? The just shall live by his faith. Is that yours or God's?
God.
That's God's faith. See? And that's what we have to realize. This is not about us. It's about letting him fulfill his full desires in our lives for us. He's got a better plan we can ever come up with. Just lay back and let him have it. Verse 10. In order that I, what?
No.
See, cross out the word may that's in there. It shouldn't be there. In order that I know him and the power or the miraculous power of his resurrection and the fellowship, literally that word fellowship should be intimacy, that I know the intimacy of his sufferings being made, what? Conformable to his death. Now let's say it a different way. Becoming like him by his death is what the Greek says. Becoming like him, become like him by his death. Now, did you do anything or was it him?
He did it all.
Yeah. I want to back up and pick up one more thing. I saw it, but I didn't want to break there. I want to go back and pick it up. In the part there that I may know him. In Psalm 103, verse 7, if you'll turn there, I want to show you something. Psalm 103, verse 7. Psalm 103, 7. Anybody there? Oh, okay, I'll wait on you. It's all right.
I'll try to be.
I understand. I wasn't looking that way when I said it. You know,
takes a little bit longer.
We can wait. We're not in a hurry.
103.7.
Got it?
Yep.
Okay. Look what it says. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. But there's one more now. We know him. That's what he was telling us. What did he say there? In order that I, what? Know him. He didn't say I want to know about his acts. Didn't want to know about his ways. I want to know who? Him. See the difference? See, we've got a possibility to come. That's the three realms. Knowing about his acts, knowing about him, but knowing him. See, that's the key. Knowing him. And that's what Paul was trying to get to us. You got to know him. If you know him, you'll be made conformable. Verse 11, if by any means or if somehow I, cross out that word might because it's an added word too, it's a doubt word anyway, I arrive to the resurrection, if by somehow I arrive to the resurrection of the dead. He's saying, all I'm worried about is rising that. Now, did he say after I die I want to go to the resurrection of the dead?
No, it's now.
It's now. Okay. We're walking around like zombies. We've not got the true life of Christ awakened in us yet when we first start. But he said, I want to arrive to this resurrection now. When will it do you any good?
Right now.
You know, once I'm dead in this realm, my flesh dies and I move on to the next realm, that isn't going to help me. Everybody's going to be that. I need it now. That's the only thing that can change me is now. That's the only time you got. Nothing else matters. Verse 12, he says, not as though, or not as that I had or I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I pursue, okay, that I, cross out that word may too, that I possess, not apprehend, but possess. That I possess that for which also I am apprehended or possessed by Christ. So let me read that again. I pursue that I possess that for which also I am possessed by Christ Jesus. He possessed you for a reason. He's indwelling us for a reason. He's saying, I want to fulfill that. Wouldn't that be a great desire to fulfill whatever Christ has for you? Mm-hmm. Whatever Father has for us, that's what I want.
Thy will be done.
Not my will, but thy will be done. Verse 13. Brethren, I consider not count. I consider not myself to have apprehended. But this, and that word apprehended, possess. I do not consider myself to have possessed. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are in front of me. So what's he saying?
Forget the past.
Get out of the past. There's no future in the past, is there? Get out of it. The world will tell you, oh, go back here and look at all that stuff. No, forget about it. That's not where it's at. The future lies ahead of you. Your reality lies right now within you, doesn't it? Right now. But there are things coming. Yeah. He says in 14, I pursue toward the mark or the goal for the prize of the, not high calling, but the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. That word high calling isn't there. It's upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. So being in Christ, not Christ being in me, but me being in Christ and Him being the ultimate thing here. I'm inside of Him, and now He's the boss running the show. That's the ultimate thing. That's the high calling. Verse 15, Let us therefore, as many as be what?
Spiritually mature.
It's literally mature, but King James says perfect, but that's not a true rendering of the word. So as many of us as that are mature, be thus minded. What minded?
Christ-minded.
Christ-minded. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, right? See? And if anything be in anything, if you be anything other-minded or differently minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Did it say anywhere that the preacher will come and tell you you're wrong? An elder comes and tells you you're wrong? A deacon sneaks up on you? You got to watch them sneaking deacons. See, everybody wants to tell everybody else what's wrong with them, and they themselves have not been made perfect yet. Until you become correct, do you have the right to tell anybody?
No.
I don't have the right to tell anybody. I'm in process like everybody else. I just got a different job. That's all. I got a different responsibility. And everybody thinks when you become a sheriff, a preacher, you become a sheriff at the same time. See, it's not there. You got to let people do what they do. If they're going to be stupid, let them be stupid. Didn't Paul say, let the ignorant be ignorant? If they want to be ignorant, let them be. They heard the truth. If they don't want to let it in, then that's just a sign to you. God said, just leave that alone. Go on, find somebody else. Sow the seed in. Don't worry about it. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us live by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So wherever God's got you, we should learn to be content therewith, should we not? If God's got us in this place, we should learn to be content. When I get content, does that mean God's going to move me up? A lot of people say so, but it doesn't say that. He just said, learn to be content where God has placed you. If I just don't complain, God's going to move me up and get me out of this rat hole here sooner or later. Do you think that's really the right thought process? There you go, see? But that's why a lot of people tell me that. If I just don't complain, I've heard people say it, if I don't complain, if I'm real good, don't complain, God will move me up to a better position. How do you know God didn't put you in that gutter for a real reason, a real good reason? Not to punish you, but to help somebody else up out of that gutter. Right? Paul did a lot of things that he shouldn't have had to done under the circumstances today. Paul would never have had to do anything. But he went out and worked for a living while he was preaching to everybody. He preached all night and worked all day long. And you know, preachers today don't believe in that kind of stuff. You're supposed to take care of the preacher, aren't you? I had one tell me that Kelly Varner told me very clearly. He said, you need to let these people know that they're supposed to take care of this preacher. That was talking about Dirk at the time. He said, you guys are supposed to take care of him. And when Dirk went down there, Dirk told them, you guys are supposed to take care of this preacher now. So they was out there patting each other on the back, getting everybody to provide money. He said, you should give him at least 3 vacations a year. And so he told me, he said, you and your wife should keep his kids so him and his wife can go out and have fun for a week or two, 3 times a year at least. Really? Won't you take him home with you? Yeah. That's insane. I said, the greatest among you is supposed to be what? The servant. And he's telling the preachers are supposed to be served. That's not what it's supposed to be. You know, totally got it upside down, but you'd be surprised how many of them out there do that. It's wrong. I'm not afraid to say it's wrong. And that whole thought process was upside down. Verse 17 we're at, right? Okay, he says, brethren, be followers together of me. That's not what it says. He says, be co-imitators. So he's saying, I'm an imitator of Christ. You be an imitator just like me of who Christ is. Whatever he does, that's what I need to do. Correct?
Right. Okay. It says, join in following my example and note those who walk that you have a pattern of following.
It's a good way to express it, but I'm just saying exactly what the language said. But that's a good rendering of it. What is that rendering? Yeah. New King James, I think, is one of the better. I use King James because most people say if you don't, you go to hell for not using anything other than King James. But I still think the New King James is much easier to read and it's closer to the true renderings than any other translation I've seen. And I've seen over 100 of them. Huh?
Against that.
I can't hear you.
I think you'd buck against that.
I just use it so I can get a door open to most people. so they won't think I'm using some heretic Bible. And it has to be black. You know, if it's not a black King James, whoa.
When you start reading out of it, they think you're reading out of a heretic Bible anyway.
I don't care what they think that way, but at least I can open the door. And if they want to run me out then, that's okay too. But anyway, he says, be co-imitators of me and mark them which live in this way as you have us for an example. See? So he says, you got an example, so go ahead and follow the example. If you find someone that's following Christ, what should you do?
Observe them.
Once you realize that they're living it the correct way, then you should follow their example. That's what Paul said. He said he was, and anybody that follows me will be doing the same thing. Verse 18. Because many live, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Oh. Don't even want to dig into that one. That's that. Everyone knows the examples of these people that say they're Christian. Well, I don't tell anybody I'm a Christian to start with. I'm a child of God. That's what this book calls me. It said I'm a son of God or a child of God. And male and female has nothing to do with it about being sons or daughters, because we're all one in Christ. There's no male and female in the realm of the Spirit. We're all one. So that's foolishness of the flesh. In verse 19, it goes on to say, whose end is what?
Destruction.
Anybody else got a rendering?
Mine says doomed.
Well, literally it says, whose end is loss or ruin. Okay? They're going to ruin their... They're not going to hell. You take that one out of the equation right quick. They're going to have a loss in this world. Now in this lifetime, they're going to have a loss or a ruin. Whose God is their what?
Belly.
Well, but belly really leads you to something else. It leads you to who they are. Their God is their self.
Flesh.
Yeah, but it's their self. It's not literally a belly like down here on us. It's talking about their God is their self. They're satisfying. And what's your stomach do? Does it not control you?
Yeah.
Give me, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. You know, it's controlling you. How much of our day is consumed by eating food? Some of you ladies in here have been going to Weight Watchers, you know, for a long time. How much have you learned about how much the stomach controls you?
It's not my stomach that controls me.
Well, no, wait a minute. It cries out and your brain says, okay, I'll give in. I mean, but your stomach is the one causing the problems. It's not your brain. Your stomach says, I'm hungry. Your brain says, well, I just eat. It's all right, I'm hungry again. And you know, as a habit, and everybody does it. Just reach for stuff and stick it in automatic. Satisfy it.
What we say is unconscious eating.
Unconscious eating, and that's exactly, and that's what these people are doing. They're doing this unconsciousness. They have placed themselves upon the throne of God, which they can't do. They think they have. They want to be God. And I forget where it says, another place in the New Testament where it says that they're slow bellies, you know, and that's the same thing they were talking about being controlled by the flesh. And whose story, whose glory is their shame. What they think is glory in the world today, the more you possess, doesn't that make you great? By the worldly standards, the more you possess, the greater you are, isn't it? The fancier your house, the fancier your automobiles, the bigger bank accounts, that's all what makes you great, you know.
The bigger your church.
The bigger your church, whatever. See, that makes it great. It doesn't make it anything. Nothing at all. Who mind what? Earthly or worldly things. And that's earthly and worldly things. It's not about the temples you go to, the buildings you go into, the building you live in. And I'm going to tell you, there's been, most of these apostles here didn't even have a house. A lot of people said Jesus didn't have a house, but I beg to differ. He had a house. The book says so. He went to his house. And that's a possessive word right there, his house.
He just didn't have any place to lay his head.
Yeah, and he was talking about this thing, the mind. So it's a little bit different than what they're thinking, but anyway, these earthly things, it's not what it's about at all. It has nothing to do. Like I say, Paul was one of them. He gave up everything to win Christ, and I guarantee you, he didn't have a house to live in. He might have lived someplace, but it wasn't his. He didn't possess it. He could have, but he chose to give it all up the other way. Verse 20, because our conversation or our citizenship is where?
In
the realm of the Spirit. Okay, the spirit realm. From whence also, what? We fully expect the deliverer, not the Savior, the deliverer. He's already done the saving. He did that on the cross. Now we're looking for deliverance. We need delivered from what?
Self.
Our own minds. Our own carnal minds. And you might say you need to be delivered from religion and all that stuff too.
The confidence in the flesh must be nullified.
Absolutely. It said the Savior or Deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change or transform. And the word shall change there really isn't correct, because it looks like it's futuristic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's not. It should say who transformed, ED, past tense. He already took care of everything. When God finished after 6 days, what did he do? He rested on the seventh day, and he said everything that he made was what?
Very good.
Very good. See? God isn't doing anything. He already did what he had to do. Now, it's us. See, the only God that's going to be doing something is the God living in you. The God living in you is the one that's going to transform you. And the same God living in you lives in each one of us. But when are you going to recognize that that God is in control? When you give up the control and let that God living in you, you won't have any more problems. You'll have issues, but you won't have any problems. You'll have solution to everything. Don't worry about it. Okay. Who transformed our vile body, that it, cross out that word, may, because that's another doubt word. It's not there. It's added by the translator. That it be fashioned like, or, and here's what it should say, jointly formed. It was jointly formed to his gloriously body. That sound like we were connected into him? That's what it's supposed to be. We are to be connected into him. Jointly formed into his glorious body, according to the what? Not working, but the efficiency also he is whereby he is able also to subdue the all. And there's two words there for all. It's where it says all things. It should be the all. It's ho pas in the Greek. It should say the all. He said, I can subdue the all. What does the all cover?
Everything,
doesn't it? There's nothing else to worry about. And subdue it to himself. That doesn't mean he beat it down. It means he's going to draw it. Like he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all humanity to me. He's not leaving anything out. And after he says he has the power to take care of it all. That's an enlightening chapter to see all the things that's already taken care of, and all we got to do is just release it. Quit trying to drive the bus. Sit back and leave the driving to us. One of the Greyhound commercial.
Yep.
See?
You mean he's not the co-pilot?
He's not the co-pilot. Not in my bus. You're absolutely right. But the more we go over these Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, these things are powerful letters, and we just weren't aware all the multiple times I've looked at this before. You just see more every time. It just gets better and better and better. And I love it. Any questions?